Yeah, the Jimmy Doe Show.
I got that move
right back. This is a bonus show.
Little bonus show.
This is what, August 8th? When was the last one? August 3rd.
August 3rd.
Right? Okay, well, so it's not that much of a bonus anyway. Sort of a bonus.
I'm going to do a little quick one in here because I can't be here this weekend.
Oh, no. Where are you going?
I'm going to the astronaut convention in San Antonio.
San Antonio.
Yep.
All right.
Going to meet Buzz Aldrin and everybody.
You lucky guy. So Engineer Eric will be out there this week. So hopefully you'll get to mix this before.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to mix it up like tonight and tomorrow, but I'm just slammed for time.
I noticed so. on our
say hi to our listeners.
Yeah, we have a listener from San Antonio.
Oh, good. So well, maybe they want to meet Engineer Eric, then shoot us an email at jimmy@jimmydone.com.
Well, we got none of that. Well, one of the things that I noticed was he came through our new, we put an ad up.
Right.
We put an ad up on this website called Politics One.
Uh-huh.
That's a good website. Need to check
it
out.
Yeah, we put an ad up there, paid big money.
Right.
And we've had a lot of people come through the Politics One website. And one of them was from San Antonio.
Cool.
But they're coming from all over the place.
Yeah, we got Truro, Nova Scotia. I don't even know if I didn't pronounce that right, I'm sure. We got Seoul, South Korea.
Which you're going to talk about North Korea.
Yep, right. Yep. Siegen, Germany. Welcome. Welcome. Something like that.
Well, we got all of Scandinavia. We got Oslo, Norway, and we got somebody from Denmark, too, I think.
Yeah.
Las Vegas, of course, is always coming in directly. And I noticed on our hits that...
big in Vegas.
We're actually big in Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City
actually is the... For whatever reason, Oklahoma City is our number one.
Because they got guns in Oklahoma.
I guess. Yeah, not around here. So that's...
All right.
Didn't want to say... So anyway, we're going to be on this... We've got to prepare for this show, the talk show, right?
That's right,
ZTLK.
ZTLK starting in September.
So
but I do want to tell all of our new listeners, too, that if you want to... Well, this is the first time you've been to our website and listening to these shows, make sure you bookmark it or send us an email so we can put you on our mailing list.
Right.
Because, you know, who knows how long our ads will be up anywhere, but...
who knows what it is between shows.
Right. And that's true. We don't do it.
Although the Z-Talk show, ZTLK, they're scheduled, right?
Yeah, we're going to be doing from 1 to 3.
And that'll be live and actually call in and everything, right?
That's right.
Cool.
Yeah.
That'll be too much fun.
Yep, starting in September. We'll keep it posted.
All right, Jimmy, what are we talking about today?
Okay, today, we're going to talk about a couple of things in no particular order. North Korea's counterfeiting money. And
our
money. Uh-huh. Counterfeiting dollars, $100 bills. Oh,
you're gonna waste your time counterfeiting Korean dollars.
Well, no, that's right. Especially North Korea, won or whatever they are. New Orleans update.
Right.
Believe it or not, there's news going on there.
Oh yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about the public. Big news is the public pension plans. Finally, somebody has done a little investigative reporting, found out that the government-run pension plans, very state, city, and local, are all going broke. Ha ha.
Oops.
Right, exactly. Our noble, wise, the people that look out for us, broke. If you retire, forget it. You're going to go, that's too bad. And then the other thing, Jack, were you the one that sent me the history test?
I think I did, yeah.
I want to go through that history test a little bit. There is.
Okay. That was funny.
That was funny.
That was almost me doing research there, Jimmy. I sent you an email of something.
Use the computer.
I saw.
Well, listen, did someone send me? Before we get into the counterfeit money, let me just mention one more thing on the new listeners. I'm curious to know why we popped up people searching us by two search words. One was death penalty. and we popped up.
We talked about it. It's on our homepage.
Okay, well, and illegal porn. Was somebody looking for illegal porn?
I was.
Okay.
Jimmy Doan, illegal porn.
I know it's hard to believe, but I just...
I wanted to link us to the main group of...
Well, I mean, usually...
It's the man.
Usually when people do a search for us, they look for libertarian podcast. We're like number one on Google. Podcast libertarian, radio podcast, whatever. We're number one on all those search engines. We pop.
Right.
That's where we get most of our referrals from. Okay.
Exactly.
But I was noticing that when I went through the statistics here, the death penalty showed up, and I'm wondering, is this... Maybe we
were the only ones who covered the death penalty.
There was a chance that somebody was wishing the death penalty on Jimmy Doan show.
I wouldn't.
That's probably what it was.
That's probably what it was.
Hopefully they were wishing the illegal porn on you, though.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Begin.
That's right. Is there some... I'm not sure there is such a thing as illegal porn anymore.
Who knows?
All right, so where are they making this money in North Korea? A bunch of warehouses?
Target strike there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Over. Intro over.
Intro over.
Thank you, Jimmy.
I want to tell you, this is from MSNBC. U.S. fights, this is a big story, U.S. fights North Korea efforts to forge currency. It turns out that for a lot of years now, maybe 15 years, North Korea has been one of the major suppliers of counterfeit. Very, very good. Almost, it cannot tell from the real thing. Counterfeit $100 bills.
Well, now, and they've been doing this for a while. Just now,
well,
now we're starting to.
Well, now we're starting to find out about it. Well, you know the secret. It's
find
a secret
out about
service.
We've probably known about this.
They, yeah, because how did you know? Yeah.
Come on, they know. They've known for a
think
decade.
Think about
or
how
more.
Often has that $100 bill been changed in the last couple of years? You remember? I don't know if you know this. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, the $100 bill was the same thing for 50 years, 60 years.
Greenback.
They've changed it. The greenback, right?
They're not green anymore.
They're no. They
got purple.
And they
red,
are. They are changing these things. Fairly regularly. Have you noticed? I mean, seriously.
The 10. They changed the 10.
The 10, right.
They're worried about people counterfeiting 10s.
Right.
What are we going to do all those bills we're creating on Doan Island now? We'll have to change that.
That's right. That's right. Well, the point is that I thought it was interesting. I'm going to read a couple of notes from the article. Dateline Washington yesterday, August 7th. 2006. For those who have handled them, North Korean supernotes are virtually indistinguishable from the $100 bills they mimic. Near-perfect forgeries of the most widely circulated banknote outside the United States. And U.S. officials respond that state-sponsored counterfeiting could undermine confidence in a key pillar of American strength abroad and erode the dollar's importance in American currency. People don't realize that about two-thirds of the actual cash currency type stuff is outside the United States. The actual greenbacks, whatever it is, the stuff you have in your wallet, only one-third of it's here in the United States. But the Secret Service...
How much of it is in Mexico?
I don't know, but we're talking about...
None of it's in my bank account.
We're talking about it in the neighborhood of a...
All right, that's something that we talked about earlier, too, with illegal immigration and how a lot of our money was going. So I was tying that in anyway.
Well,
so anyway,
no, that's totally different.
Totally the thing different. Is, well, totally the difference different. Is that if they're printing it, it will cause inflation in
right.
this country if it circulates back in.
Well, there's some other things that are a problem here. One is, and I found this when I went down to Costa Rica, and that was some places won't take them anymore. Hmm. They won't take your $100 bill. Doesn't matter what. They'll hold it up to the light. They put the little piece of chalk on it,
right.
or whatever they do.
Like a gas station, we do not accept bills larger than
$20. Exactly. We just don't take $100 because no matter how good they look, they may be counterfeit,
right.
And that could be that's the problem. It's the confidence problem mm-hmm. to some extent. But the Secret Service, which investigates counterfeiting of U.S. currency, has seized about 50 million. Can you imagine 50 million of worthwhile notes? Now they're figuring that there may be somewhere in the neighborhood of $500 billion or more dollars cash in circulation outside of the United States.
Well, sure. If you're going to make it, you might as well make a lot of.
Well,
it.
No, that's not the counterfeit. No, that's not the counterfeit
that's
money.
But
if,
money.
If it follows the path of cocaine. Mm-hmm. They're seizing about 2 or 3 or 4 or 5% of what the actual stuff is. That is, if they've seized 50 million, there's at least 500 million or 5 billion mm-hmm. In circulation. And unfortunately, as you know, this is a classic case of the rotten apple spoiling the whole barrel. That is, if once somebody gets burned by this, they're reluctant to take any. So you only have to see one Secret Service agent come into your Taiwan store and say, by the way, I'm taking this $100 bill from your cash register because it's fake, and the guy's going to put up a sign in the next minute says, we take no more of these.
Well, right. I hate to get to the point, but so what? I mean, it's illegal already, right?
Well, yes, it is. But I think – but my point is, of course, they are only counterfeiting the paper money, and there's a problem here, they say. The point is that the biggest counterfeiter of actual money is the United States government because they make this paper money that we're supposed to exchange for actual real goods. And here's the solution to the entire problem is to go back on gold standard. They cannot counterfeit gold. It's just that simple.
Well, but then you can still...
You could counterfeit a bill that you could legally exchange for gold.
Right. That's true. But mm-hmm. but again, that would be a privately held thing. That is to say, once you're on the gold standard, once you're actually swapping...
Metal. Right.
It's up to the banks that are issuing the receipts
right.
to have a private solution to whether the next bank over, or the next
right.
street, or the next country will accept your receipt for that particular amount
right.
of gold. And of course, in today's communication, all you do is make a phone call. Does Bob Jones have?
Right.
Well, not Bob Jones, not a good idea because that's Bob Jones University. But I mean, no. But does Jimmy have $200 million on deposit in gold in your bank?
Right.
Yes, he do.
Well, then let him have the car.
Then let him have it. That's right.
Right.
So my point is that if you're on the gold standard, that's something you cannot counterfeit. The United States has been counterfeiting money,
mm-hmm.
actual spendable
right.
money, and I'm a collector of money. Jimmy actually has collected the paper money from...
I'm a collector, too.
You know, no. Just don't collect much.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I like the really new stuff.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, right. Because it'll get old someday.
Yeah.
That's right. You'll put it on Antiques Roadshow in 50 years. Money talks and bullshit walks. My money talks, it says bye-bye.
You could have silver coins, you know, for the lower denomination.
Right. Well, then they used to.
Right.
And think about it. But doesn't this tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, until 1933, as you well know,
mm-hmm.
The actual receipts were signed by the United States and so forth. And until 1964, our coins had actual 90% silver in them. But because of the inflation, because of the counterfeiting that went on, because of the way the United States handles money, which is totally irresponsible, they should never have been given the responsibility for handling money in the first place, and for many years they didn't have it. But
so then how, if we went back on the gold standard, then how would they print more? They'd have to acquire gold before
They have to actually acquire it. That's right. And you pay your taxes in gold.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. One of the complaints about the gold standard is...
What does the government trade the gold for? They get it through the taxes? That's where they all get it? They get it all from taxes?
They have it now sitting up in the bank in New York. Did you see that movie where they moved all the gold out in those dump trucks?
Yeah. But I thought it all got stolen.
No, they got it back.
Okay.
Didn't you see the end of the movie?
No,
they got it back.
He stopped watching after the biggest explosion.
Yeah.
That was the Bruce Willis one.
Right.
Okay, right. And then, of course, the stuff in Fort Knox, you know, before Goldfinger got to it, they didn't disarm the bomb. So the gold's there.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry about it.
I'll take your word for it.
No. Fool. But anyway, the whole point is that they're talking about a good weapon to bring down the capitalist system. And I'm just going through the other things here. And that's about it. The point is that they can solve this problem so easily. Instead, they're going to hire I don't know how many agents. They're going to arrest I don't know how many people. They're going to search everybody. They're going to do the wiretapping, the satellite surveillance, on and on and on. To try and stop the counter...
They'll put microchips in the dollar bills and stuff.
Well, they already have, as you know, the special... they have that thread, right?
Right.
So the RFID chips maybe get smaller. I don't know, but again, one of the things that they're talking about, and I don't know if we're going to mention
it. I like the gold thing. I mean, you can weigh gold, and you can test gold, and
let me tell you something. Archimedes' principle. I remember doing this in high school.
Mm-hmm.
It is astounding how easily...
Well, that's when Archimedes taught you personally.
That's true. Yeah. So,
I can understand why you remember that lesson.
Yeah, exactly. He was old. Remember now, I was a student of his. Think about it.
Right.
But the Archimedes principle, as you know, you can test gold... with a tub of water. Exactly right. I did find out one thing, and that is there is a way around that. It turns out if you substitute uranium for gold, you can. Because uranium's heavier than gold. I'm guessing, however, that this would not be a viable cheat.
Right.
I could be wrong.
Well,
on that.
Jimmy, let me mention something. You were talking about the gold standard, and isn't there or wasn't there at some point an actual strip of metal in the dollar bill?
No, I thought
there was a strip of a band of silver at one end.
That was the song by that name.
That was a good band in the 60s.
Yeah, that was. That's right.
It's all coming back.
Band of Gold refers to a wedding ring, and it was a song in the 60s. That was a flashback segment. He's obviously having a junior moment.
Yeah,
senior moment. Thanks, Jack, for your input on that.
No problem.
Appreciate that. Yeah, you've done well.
We're moving on.
I have all the money.
I wanted to spend a few moments again on New Orleans. We, of course, Katrina, they're still rebuilding and so forth. One of the things that I find sort of a corollary to the rebuilding, people, they were upset because the taxes that they collect went down because everybody left, so they couldn't collect taxes. Of course, property values went down.
Wasn't anything to pay taxes on.
However,
come out here and
that did not stop New Orleans from getting billions of our money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That is, the amount of money they actually got to spend was 10 times what they had before.
They would have been bringing in.
But I thought this is one of the things I was reading about the rebuilding plan, or if you want to call it that, that brings to mind a talk that I heard years ago in another country by a guy named Ian Powell, who was the scourge of the British Parliament for many years in the 50s and 60s because he was a conservative. But the point is, they said, rebuilding a city, it seems, is too important a task to be left to professional planners. That's the message behind a decision to place one of the most daunting urban reconstruction projects in the hands of local residents. Well, the reason this reminded me...
Duh!
Yeah, exactly. No, this tells you, there was an extensive article, I think, on Mises.org or at the Cato Institute that talked about how planners... The geniuses that are planners tend to screw things up rather royally. And
well, it just becomes there's too many complexities. The human mind can only plan so big of a place, so big of a thing, such a thing with so many complexities. When you try to plan every economic factor that goes into a country, or when you try
to plan a city,
every housing project that could possibly go into a city, there's no way you can do it.
Right.
You're going to piss people off. The best way to do it is let the market figure it out, let it happen one piece at a time.
Right.
And
so, well, the interesting thing about this is they haven't quite let go. They
right.
can't afford. They just can't do it.
I noticed the guy in the article. What's his name?
Don't know.
Well, he was sort of floundering back and forth. Like, he put forth out there just what seemed
anybody
to be...
Anybody care what this guy's saying?
Exactly.
Exactly.
He put forth out there, it looks like, some good recognition of the idea that the public in general could take it and handle this project.
Right.
And then...
Well, of course, it's not only... The thing about it is if you view it as a project, you got a problem. It's projects.
Well, right. But then in his mind, he went back to the idea that it was a project.
Right.
And said, well, this is very scary, he says,
right.
basically, at the end of his article. Which,
yeah, he's scared.
Well, of course he's scared. He believes in central planning.
Exactly. The point is that at some point when everything gets totally out of whack, that even the planners, with their sleeves rolled up, sweat on their brow, have been up, not sleeping for 36 hours, they finally say...
Talking to community group after community group.
Yeah, after community group, and everybody has... There are 57 different things. Nobody can... And they finally throw their hands up in the air and says, hell with it. Let the market figure it out. And they could have done that in the first place.
Exactly.
So anyway,
They would have saved a lot of time.
Well, of course, you're exactly correct. Yeah. They are total control freaks.
Right.
And once that control freak ball gets rolling, since government people speak in the passive voice, there's never any blame. They can't let it go because then somebody might have to admit that there was a mistake. And since there's no retribution in case you do make a mistake, nobody ever gets fired. You usually get a promotion if there's mistakes made. And the usual cure, as you well know, for any governmental type mistake is to do it all over again with
double
more money. Double the money. That's right. We're going to. It's like in
money.
Las Vegas. We're going to double up and catch up. That's it. So the point is that they turned it over to a local charity for some reason, the Greater New Orleans Foundation, and the charity opened up. Well, you know, let's not get carried away yet. On August 1st, just a week ago or so, they opened a series of public meetings in which groups representing more than 70 neighborhoods would begin selecting planners. I guess local planners, to help determine everything from where to place the house to the width of the sidewalks. And the idea is, the problem is that apparently some of the planners they got out of the Yellow Pages, and these are people that are planning, that plan like Levittowns, cookie cutter type approaches, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Everything looks the same. And again, who knows? And then now they're talking about suggesting tax breaks. And this is one of the, in order to encourage this stuff. And this is what I always wonder is, if tax breaks are so good to make an improvement, why are tax breaks anathema to people across the board? I mean, what they're telling you is, if you pay a lot of taxes, you got problems, and if you want to cure a problem, we're going to give you a tax break, but oh, by the way, if we don't really perceive a serious problem over here, we're going to tax the bejesus out of you. And they're talking about partly righting a wrong from the 50s, when highway construction wiped away one of the city's thriving black commercial strips. I'm sure they're talking about that the strip wasn't black,
but there were black people there. That's more planners getting back their fingers in there, saying, whoa!
Well, but the thing is, of course, the beauty of it is it's from the 50s, because all those people are dead and can't be sued. They couldn't be sued anyway because they have a thing.
Well, but this is what happens when the government, it would have took them almost a year now. They've done essentially nothing in these people's minds, and they're fed up. And so that's why they're throwing it.
Well, I think part of it
groups.
Is, I think that the nice thing about New Orleans is I think that they're a little nervous about the tar pitch and torches coming out.
It's already hurricane season.
Right? Yeah,
I mean,
right,
you know,
right.
The levees aren't done.
Yeah, and
the levees aren't done.
They didn't even sweep the streets. Left. I mean, Jimmy was just there. Jimmy said it was destroyed.
Oh no, that was Biloxi, right? That's right. No, it was flattened.
Right.
I mean, but that was the same area, right? Exactly right. It was just flattened. The deal is though.
So one big hurricane hits right now, and it's pitchforks and torches. Give the
band of revelers going into the angry crowd or whatever.
Well, I'll tell you, now's a good time to be in the real estate industry in New Orleans.
Well, they have had. It's funny you should mention. I don't want to.
If you have a lot of money, I'm implying.
Well, it always helps to have a lot of money. What are you talking about? You don't even have to be in the real estate business if you have a lot of money. Right? No, I like to have a lot of money part. Right? Because when you have a lot of money, you are on a boat in the Caribbean with hot and cold running babes is what you are. I can tell you that. No, I thought it was interesting that this is from the New York Times, August 8th, in this New Orleans thing. The headline is, in New Orleans, each resident is a master of plan to rebuild. It's not quite that. The article does go vacillate back and forth. Mm-hmm. But the end of the article, the last sentence, tells a little bit of a story. It awakens us to the reality of what Americans are capable of and what our government is not. And it does. But mm-hmm. unfortunately, there's pieces in the article that belie that mm-hmm. last sentence. So what? It does, to me, bring home the point. And that is, get out of the way, we'll do it ourselves.
And it's our job to bring home the point.
That's right.
You did it so well.
That's just right. Okay, next.
All right.
This is another government problem. Extensive article in the New York Times again from today. And this is what they call the public pension plans face billions in shortages. Now,
is that British billions?
I don't know. This is the U.S. billions. And of course, remember now, public pension plans are the government pension plans. Those are the ones that if your city, state, or local pension plan is going broke, is what it boils down to, all over the country.
Government employees,
that's right.
Wait a minute.
Your bus driver.
I was a government employee for about 5 years.
Yeah. And bye-bye
not
pension.
Anymore.
Not anymore. Yeah, if you could wave goodbye to your pension. The article is rather extensive, and I think it's interesting to me that this article finally shows the truth about pension plans in general, and that your noble, wise, all-caring, all-seeing government, custodians of the future of America, can
keepers of the fire.
That's right. Cannot. Right. And these guys are
pissing on it.
Exactly. There is. You have hit the spark plug on the head. That's right. The thing is that
so they couldn't plan.
They couldn't plan. Dork. They've been stealing the money from the pension plans to buy votes. Duh. The thing that I'm laughing in a way about this is that they hauled Enron up there, and Ken Lath is dead. Excuse me. Jimmy's joking.
The government killed him.
The government killed him. They called him up because all those, there were 3,000 people in Enron. Oh, woe is us that lost their pension because they were invested in Enron, and the place went to 3,000 or 4,000 people. And this is millions, thank you so much, across the board that are not going to see any of their pensions. Is there a Ken Lay involved in this? Is somebody going to be called up on charges? No! They're going to get promotions, or they won't even get voted out of office, but when the next guy comes in, they'll say, Mrs. So-and-so was on the board back then, and she, she's retired in the Virgin Islands now.
Right, exactly.
And
are they mismanaging the funds, or are they spending the money?
They're both. That's okay. The same thing.
Well, no, I mean mismanaging the investment.
No. They're spending the money. Okay. What they're doing
is... They put it in a lockbox.
No, what they're doing is...
Does it affect nuclear power plant people?
Don't
no,
you wish?
No!
I wish. Let me just read you a couple of lines from this, and I'll make a comment. San Diego is the big... investigative reporting. I'm not going to give the guy credit on this. Whoever, I forget. I don't have the name of the fellow. But San Diego remains barred, mind you, from raising money for selling bonds because of their credit rating is so poor because they've stolen all the money from the pension fund.
Who barred them? The state?
Pardon me?
The state or the feds bar them, or the SEC?
No. Well, they are barred. Nobody will loan the money, is what it boils down. When I say they're barred, I'm sure that the state has barred them, but nobody's going to loan them money anyway. I mean, you walk in there and you say, where are you going to get your money from? They say, nah, I don't know.
Well, they'll make something up. I mean, they'll have an answer.
It says cut off from a vital source.
Or something,
They have a bake sale. I
yeah,
don't know.
Exactly. Right.
they have a $1.4 billion shortfall in their pension fund.
That's a lot of cookies.
That's right. I mean,
that's you, a big
well,
Twinkie.
Well, you figure you only have to sell one large one for $1.4 billion right. to Bill Gates.
Right.
Hi, Bill. We got a large cookie here. Yeah. And so anyway, by one estimate, state, this is what I love about this, in this article. By one estimate, state and local governments owe their current and future retirees by roughly $375 billion more than they have committed to the pension funds. Now, remember, a lot of this stuff's in the future, and you have to make actuarial projections about how you're who's going to die, who wouldn't, and so forth. And I suppose one way, especially if you're the government, is to kill off a bunch of them. I suppose, you know, have open season on pensioners. But a private
Please
organization...
follow me this way to the showers.
In the shower? No. The shower sounds like
stand
this.
Stand in a line.
So, well, we're going to wash the blood away so the next people won't be too terrified to come in.
They won't be too terrified. No, but the sound of the shower.
That's why they started using showers, you know, or to digress, because the killing with whose bullets were too messy.
That's right.
Too expensive.
So here's the sound of death.
Bullets well, just weren't killing them fast enough.
No, that's right. Well, the problem is that they had... the ovens, you know, they were having everybody bend over and stick their head in it, but it was taking too long, so they...
like was, Moses, like...
Yeah.
No
so,
funeral.
Right. Anyway, a private organization, to continue here, to go back, the government says maybe, or the investigative people have said, uh-oh, we're $375 billion short, which is a chunk, and a private organization redid the figures, ha-ha, and found out they're about $800 billion short, almost $1 trillion short. Now, the way the governments get away from this, remember now, pensions are paid out over the lifetime of the pensioner. So if the pensioner person retires at age 60 or 65, you figure they're going to live another 20 years. And so you project out how you're going to collect the money for that person over the next 20 years. Well, governments, ha-ha, they figured out over 50 years. So they figure that the pensioner is going to live another 50 years in order to make the numbers come out right. So all the government pensioner people are going to live to be 110, 120 years old in order to make the numbers come. Oh, we should win. Of course, they're also collecting Social Security, which screws those numbers up because those people are all supposed to die. The point is that they're hoping that all this is going to make, if they raise the taxes, as you know, the taxpayers on the hook for all of this. It's not like they can just say, well, I suppose they could say we're not going to pay you, but the ultimate payer on all this is the taxpayer. They figure that taxpayers will still be there, and of course in New Orleans they're not, which is a problem, I suppose. If you were recently retired from New Orleans, where's your pension money coming from? Because they're not going to collect it. But the thing is that this particular shell game, and I've talked about this once before, and I think people ought to go look this up on the web, is something called a tontine. Do we all know what a tontine is?
It's what Luke Skywalker rode around on the planet Hoth.
Thank you so much.
A female version, maybe.
Was that a tontine?
Right. The tontine is
a tontine is what Indians beat out there west.
That's
right?
Tom-tom.
Tom-tom, okay. But I thought the women. Isn't that what
the history lesson
famous,
is?
Famous Indian called Tonto.
That's right. But isn't a tom-tom the new GPS from so-and-so? Isn't that called a tom-tom? No. Okay. A tontine was invented, if you want to call it that, and I'm not sure why they call it a tontine. I think it was during the First World War, and you get a rare bottle of whiskey or wine or sherry or something like that that will keep its flavor and still be drinkable in 50 years or whatever. And it's the last man gets to open it after everybody dies. Each time a person dies, that it goes to the next person in line or whatever. And a tontine is the last man standing kind of thing. Well, that's what it seems to me on so many of these pension plans. They're hoping that the last guy is going to collect the money, I guess. And they're hoping that everybody's going to die off so that nobody gets to drink the wine. seriously, that's the way these things, they're a combination of a Ponzi scheme, which is always getting new people in to pay. Which, remember now, they're counting on the guy who retires today doesn't know who's going to be paying his pension because that person hasn't been hired yet in the city. But if that person doesn't get hired or something happens to the city, so ostensibly there is no pension.
A big fat bank.
Well, except what they do then is they raise your property taxes in order to pay that pensioner. The taxpayers are always on the hook for that.
Well, it's a good thing they always got the lottery.
Yeah. Well, and of course, as I saw a great cartoon the other day, And I've mentioned this once before. The only reason the lotteries are even in existence is because they've outlawed the private lotteries, basically. Right. That's the only way that nobody would be able to.
Nobody would play the lottery.
Nobody would. No, it would be a joke. Yeah. I mean, that is, you know, it's always one thing. It's always a nice thing. If you happen to have the legal guns, then the sheriff on your side. Mm-hmm. It's always nice if you can outlaw the competition.
Right. You know, they got a good scam going on.
No, it's super. I mean, it's super. And if you go to court, at least when the mafia shows up and outlaws the competition, you ostensibly can go to court. But here, you know, the court's on the side of the sheriff. I mean, if you walk up and say, wait a minute. These guys are outlawing. I mean, the court says, yeah, but that's okay.
It's not outlaw anymore.
Yeah, that's right. It's not outlaw anymore.
It's in law.
It is always. I believe you could call it a fixed game when the referees are on one of the teams.
The French wearing their jerseys.
Jerseys, right. You know, it's always a suspect problem when you see when you see number 68, you know, Minnesota Vikings on the on the referee's jersey.
Yep.
So anyway, that's all I have on that. Anybody want to make a comment on that?
Good job, Jimmy. Good job.
Well, it definitely is an incentive for people not to go work for the government.
Well, that's true. No, that's true. And you better save your own money. That's exactly right. The savings rate. I did see where...
One way the government could shrink all by itself. If you take away all these pensions, you might get a bad name, you know?
Yeah. It's going to happen one way. Right. They can't continue this. I mean, this is something called unfunded liabilities. And they're in the trillions of dollars. Trillions. The biggest ones, of course, are in the federal government with Medicare and Medicaid, which dwarf, by the way, Social Security, which is broke. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you already have one that's broke. And the light at the mirror at the end of the tunnel that will tell you that it's actually broke is, I think, 2018.
Mm-hmm. You mirror at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Say, this tunnel doesn't really go to the other side.
That's me I'm looking at. So the point is that is dwarfed, mind you, by Medicare and Medicaid. I mean, the simple fact is you are going to go into the hospital and it's going to be an echo chamber. There's nobody home. Or the waiting line will stretch into the next county.
Right.
Is more than likely what's going
to happen. Oh, this building is just for the line.
That's right. That's right. You know, all these people here are in line. That's exactly right. And you have to, I don't know, maybe you'll have to take a test to get in the line. Here's your test. Are you dead?
I'm not dead yet.
Yeah, that's right.
Not dead.
So anyway, that's the another government plan gone awry. Surprise.
Surprise. Surprise.
Anything else anybody want to mention on that? No.
I will say this. You probably break this out, but I think you said that the pensioners, if the government calculated that the pensioners will live for 50 years.
Well, the way it works is, yes, I mean, they have to do that in order to make it work, is what I'm saying.
But see, if they did that, wouldn't they collect more money than if they lived 20 years?
Yes, that's the point. That's how they're going to pay for it. You've asked a valid question. What they've said... They have said that in order to pay off the pensioner, they have to collect money from current employees for 50 years.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, what about this history test?
Okay, the history test, I guess this sort of comes in on a light note. Jack, you're the one that sent me this, right?
I think so.
I love this history test. This
I'm not
is
gonna
a
commit
this is a multiple. It's a, yeah, don't take credit yet because of the subject matter. The history test, it's of course a multiple guess, which is my kind of test.
Okay.
I'm always good at multiple guess. You know, you do know some of the rules for multiple guess tests.
You tree it.
I'm gonna tell
all
you.
Of above,
you know, all of the above.
All of the above.
All is a detergent, not an answer. If there are three short answers and a long answer, it's the long answer.
It's the long
answer. If there's three long answers and a short answer, it's a short answer.
And if all else fails, choose B.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So that'll pass you almost any multiple
guess. There's your C.
Well, that's how you're going to graduate
your gentleman C.
out of the public education system.
Right. Government-run education system.
Indoctrination system.
That is exactly the way that you can get a gentleman C on any multiple guess.
Gentlemen.
So let's see if that helps us on this
history. Well, unfortunately, this test, I hesitate to say this, it appears to be just a tad biased.
No.
Really? I could be wrong. But let me just read.
I didn't want to send you anything too difficult.
Well, no, that's right. Well, I wanted to go over some of these.
It's supposed to be fun.
I wanted to go over these. Now, this is, it turns out, for the purposes to shorten this podcast up just a tad, D on every one of these questions, and there are 13 of them. D is a Muslim male extremist between the ages of 17 and 40. That's the answer D.
Okay.
So I'm going to just read you number one. Number one, 1968, Bobby Kennedy was shot and killed by A, Superman, B, Jay Leno, C, Harry Potter, or D, a Muslim male extremist between the ages of 17 and 40.
I don't think Superman would ever kill anybody.
I'll take D for 200.
And you're right. You'd be right. Now, I'm going to skip down on a couple of these because I don't want to hit them all. But number three, in 1979.
Do you have the correct answer, buzzer?
Or the wrong answer.
Yeah, actually, that's true. I might have a buzzer.
So it wasn't Superman.
In 1979, the U.S. Embassy in Iran was taken over by A, Lost Norwegians.
Yeah, that sounds good. No.
Elvis.
He would dance.
So he didn't do it. A tour bus full of 80-year-old women.
Not that one.
Muslim male extremists, but mostly between the ages of 17 and 40. Yes. So now, I'm going to continue on. Here's another one. Mm-hmm. In 1983, the U.S. Marine barracks in Beirut was blown up by a pizza delivery boy. It could happen.
Good.
Pee Wee Herman. Geraldo Rivera.
It's possible.
Possible. That's what
very
it could be.
Possible.
See, so you have a choice here. Right. You might have to call your neighbor or take an audience. Yeah. And D, a Muslim extremist, mostly between the ages. Yeah, okay.
Well, but see, the problem with that is you don't know if one of those Muslims wasn't a pizza delivery boy.
That's true. Or Geraldo, because he's the one that did the troop movements, right?
Right.
I'm starting to see a pattern here, Jimmy.
Let me tell you. I'm going to move on.
Right.
In 1985, the cruise ship Achille Lara was hijacked by a 70-year-old American passenger. Hijacked and a 70-year-old American passenger was murdered and thrown overboard in his wheelchair.
Wait, I know this one.
You do. No, you know this.
D. Okay.
D. This is Muslim male.
A, B, and C.
But A was the Smurfs, and I know that was wrong. But Davy Jones?
They don't even like one.
Now, Davy Jones,
he's a fictional character.
No,
he's the singer.
Oh, you're talking about Davy Jones from the Monkees.
Davy Jones' locker. Well, I was figuring if he's thrown overboard,
right,
got to be Davy Jones' locker.
Right.
I mean, I figured this was a good answer. B was over. That's what I would have chosen. B.
Right. I would have gone with C.
Or C, the Little Mermaid.
Yeah, the Little Mermaid.
Possibly.
Hey, he went over. 70-year-old guy wanted to have sex with a I don't know.
Sexual harassment, murder, self defense.
All right. So or D.
Or D. Surprise, surprise. Again, Muslim male extremists, mostly between the ages of 17. And 40. Okay. In 1985, TWA Flight 847 was hijacked in Athens, and a U.S. Navy diver trying to rescue passengers was murdered by A, Captain Kidd. He's a murderer.
Okay.
Charles Lindbergh. Airplane?
Airplane, yeah.
It could be, you know.
Not in 85.
No, he'd been too old.
That's right. He was, okay. Mother Teresa, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Let me try D.
Okay.
Muslim male extremists, mostly between the ages of 17 and 40. Got it again! Oh, my God.
Have you been keeping tabs here?
I've only missed one so far. Now, let me just tell you. Now, here's another one. Here's number 10. In 1998, the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania were bombed by A, Mr. Rogers. No, that's not right.
That's wrong, Jimmy.
Okay, but is that wrong? That plain wrong. But now here's one that I would get. Hillary Clinton to distract attention from Wild Bill's women problems.
She's feisty, but I don't think that.
You don't think 98?
Yeah.
You don't think?
Tough
I was going to guess that.
They bombed Lebanon is what they bombed.
Oh, okay. Okay. 98, I don't know. 98, you see, that was the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. I don't know. Okay. The C, anyway, is the World Wrestling Foundation. No, that's not right.
No.
Okay. And D is, let me read this, Muslim male extremists, mostly between the ages of 17 and 40. So now, and I'm going to go here. One more I'm going to give
sure.
you. I think this is on the web somewhere. What you probably Google, history test
Muslim male extremism.
I'm really not seeing a pattern here about profiling.
Muslim male extremity.
I don't see the pattern, Jimmy.
Okay, well, I'm going to. This last
your
one
point,
may give it,
your point has well, not yet been made.
I know. But let me give you this last.
One more.
One more may give you
all right.
the answer.
Okay. Let me hear it.
In 2002, the United States fought a war in Afghanistan against A, Enron. Now, see, I think that I could.
Just talking about general delay. So.
Yeah.
Did they say what kind of war?
No, so I'm saying it could be
general
that's
delay.
Vague. It's a vague answer.
Yeah. This is one of the reasons why. Now, this is a perfect case why Jimmy would get this right, because in A is Enron, B is the Lutheran Church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then I don't think they were in Afghanistan. The NFL.
Mm-hmm.
No. But see, the long answer.
The long answer
is Muslim male extremists,
you're
mostly
right,
between the ages of 17 and 40.
Yeah,
okay, now I have Jimmy has finally detected a pattern.
I see it.
I'm guessing on this one violates one of. Actually, it doesn't totally violate Jimmy's rule, because the long answer, even though they're all D, seems to be the correct one.
Right.
And it appears that there's the pattern here is that something called a Muslim male extremist between the age of 17 and 40 might be responsible for some of the terrorist acts in this country and abroad.
So maybe we should keep a lookout for those kind of people.
Now, that's profiling.
Oh, well, we shouldn't do that?
I would say that probably the 80-year-old lady breastfeeding her child... might be a candidate.
Which apparently they do for a longer period of time.
They strip church them, strip search her and the child.
Right.
To make sure they're not carrying Muslim extremists.
Well, and we've talked about this before, not only in the situations where political environment we're in now, but also here at home. This can be a useful tool.
You mean profiling?
Yeah.
Oh, hard to believe. Well, again, this
is what we're talking about, right?
Yes, it is exactly what we're talking about.
Because I slept for a little while there.
You knew the answers ahead of time. I'll bet you cheated. You looked at this test ahead of time.
Well, I figured it was D. So,
well, because they were the long answers.
That's right.
Yeah. So I understand how you would have slept through the...
There's a couple of problems with profiling Muslim male extremists between the ages of 17 and 40.
What's that?
Well, first of all, 17 and 40 is a lot of years.
That's right.
And second of all, Muslims pretty much look like the rest of us, unless they were in a turban or something.
I say profile the turbans.
There's probably a lot of them between 17 and 40 that are innocent.
Well, yeah, you got to figure that there's 800 million of them or something, and
half of them at least, and you're innocent.
Right. So we're back to Vegas odds here.
Yeah, black or red.
That's right, black.
That's right. I'll take black or red.
They take full advantage of the profile. In all actuality, I mean, if you wear your turban and you're walking around the convention, yeah,
okay.
If you set off the metal detector,
yeah.
Oh, that's the plate in my head.
Yeah,
yeah, right. I don't think so.
That's the plate in my towel.
That's yeah, I don't think so. I'm taking some silver to mama.
Well, so what do you think, Jimmy? What's the answer?
The answer always has been to turn it over to let the airlines, especially, handle it themselves. Get rid of the TSA and let the market figure it out. The market's going to figure it out.
Yep.
I mean, airline captains piloting a plane. Believe me, they don't want to die either. Most of them.
They've already been through wars. Most of them.
Exactly, and they know what it's like. And I can guarantee you that the market would fix this in 2 seconds, and the ticket prices would be less than they are today. You know, I don't know if you know this, but we do pay a surcharge, a terrorist surcharge on tickets.
Terror tax,
that's right.
9/11 fund.
That's right. And
in fact, we did actually, I just now remember this, but we did a really hilarious show on the airlines and terrorism with Jack Rhodes. I just remember when just thinking about something, he said, I won't say anything, but go back and listen to our archives. You'll find it in there.
Oh, yeah?
It's a good one.
What would be the key?
We have done some hilarious shows.
Yes, we have.
Well, if the government would get out of the airports, then finally, I think that they would put couches and comfortable chairs in there.
Boy, isn't that the truth.
And they'd give you a ticket, a little ticket taker, like you get at the Publix deli. And then what you do is, instead of having to stand in a cattle line with all of your luggage, then you could go hang out and lounge around and have like a drink or something.
Even, surprisingly enough,
number 112.
Serving number 112.
Well, you can have one of those little vibrating coaster things that they give you.
Exactly.
Especially the vibrating.
But I bet you that doesn't meet the regulation of the FAA.
No, you're exactly right. Even the post office, by the way, allows you to take a number now. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Our new one here up here allows you to take a number. It's amazing. I mean, right. Even the post office, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm. That's the place where you get shot by government employees.
That's right.
No, they have the guns.
Yeah. I mean, they're responding. Of course, they're responding to competition, I suppose, from FedEx and UPS.
It's about time.
Well, no, they're slow. You know,
well, when you got the monopoly.
That's right. Well, look, they don't have, of course, there's never this total monopoly again because of FedEx. And they have a monopoly on first class mail, obviously.
And it's hard to the mailboxes.
In the mailboxes.
And the mailboxes. Right. That's upsetting. That's really a pain. That's talk about an antiquated, talk about a 200-year-old law that needs to go away.
Right.
I mean, do you realize it's a federal offense
To put an M80 in a mailbox?
Let me tell you, to put a piece of paper. No, an M80 is like an explosive.
That's destruction of federal property.
That's right. But if you put a flyer in your neighborhood that says, come to the meeting tonight, mm-hmm. they send a SWAT team around your house or something.
The federal marshal show.
The federal marshal show. Yeah, badges and all. Tommy Lee Jones.
Wesley Snipes. Yeah. Or somebody.
Well, I was going to say Tommy Lee. He's a little scary.
Tommy Lee. Yeah, that's true.
Tommy Lee. I would definitely be the fugitive.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, well, Chuck. Yeah, ooh, go on. Beth reminds me of one thing just before we finish out here, unless you got some other light notes. The two websites that I love are Chuck Norris Does This or Chuck Norris mm-hmm. Does That. It's Sylvester Stallone, I think, and Chuck Norris, how they do different things. Have you mm-hmm. seen that? We'll do that on another show. It's really hysterical stuff. I'm done. Jimmy is finished. Thank you so much.
This has been a test of the emergency listening system.
All right, well, what do we got for light notes?
I got a couple.
All right, let's hear it.
I got a couple actually for you, Counselor Curtis.
Okay.
By the way, we didn't even introduce anybody at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, everybody should know us.
No, they know us by now, but Jack Rhodes.
Jack, good to be here.
And Counselor Curtis is our resident barrister attorney.
That's right.
So, Mr. Attorney, and
Jimmy Doan.
And Jimmy Doan. Okay. Death row inmate appeals over smoking. Lawyers for a death row inmate are appealing his conviction in part because the judge barred jurors from smoking during deliberations. According to the appeal on behalf of Philip Elmore, man, he sounds a little too scary, attorneys said that the lack of smoke breaks made jurors antsy and overly eager to finish the case.
Trust me, I can relate.
A jury deliberated for 6 hours before convicting Elmore in 2003.
6 hours? Yeah. Didn't sound like they didn't take their time. Well, go ahead.
Well, I mean, without smoking, maybe they were just...
I can guarantee you.
How long did OJ's trial take to acquit him?
Well, the jury...
I know, but what were they smoking in OJ?
Exactly.
They were allowed to smoke anything they wanted.
That's right. And they were, too.
Not guilty. I mean,
something.
Yeah.
So, he was convicted of aggravated murder and other charges in the death of his ex-girlfriend. A week later, the juror needed 3 hours to recommend the death sentence. And then again, they basically said that they couldn't smoke, and that predisposed the jurors to agree on a quick decision. Mm-hmm. Prosecutor Robert Becker said he believes the verdict and the sentence will stand. I don't think I've ever heard of this one. It's relatively novel, he said.
No, aren't they all?
Right.
But yeah. I would have been tempted. I would think that this in this day and age, that when they bring in the food or the water to the jury rooms, they certainly should be bringing in those nicotine patches.
On a jury, I'd like a little bit more than that.
Yeah, again, I mean, you'd stay there. Of course, then your deliberations might take.
Yeah, we can't make a decision.
No, don't decide today.
Give us another week.
Right.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I don't know. What do you say, Curtis?
They don't make it real comfortable for the jury, and they want them to make up their mind. They do give them the basic necessities, and I think I've seen smoke breaks. But I agree with the prosecutor. That's not going to fly. I mean, that doesn't sound like a valid appeal to me. Mm-hmm. You'd have to have some more evidence. If you had one of the jurors saying, hey, I badgered everybody into voting or something because I wanted to damn smoke.
That's right.
then they could use that as evidence.
They could use that as evidence.
Yeah, there is a new meaning to the phrase, I'd kill for a camel.
Yeah, exactly.
Or whatever. No, that's why I'd walk a mile for a camel.
If they gave him six hours.
I'd kill for a cigarette. God damn, I'd kill for a cigarette.
That should have been their slogan, though, Jim.
I would kill everyone in this room for a drop of sweet beer.
if they deliberated for 6 hours, that sounds like a fair amount of time to me.
Okay. All right. Good. How about this one? Judge declares lawyer too drunk in court. You probably heard of these before, huh? A judge ordered...
Wait, now, before you read that name, it's got Elmore at the end of it.
A judge ordered a blood alcohol test for a defense lawyer who was slurring his words, then declared a mistrial after declaring him too tipsy to argue a kidnapping case. He goes, I don't think you can tell a straight story because you're intoxicated, the judge said. Basically, they said...
I never heard of that before.
If the person was convicted, his client faces life in prison.
Oh!
Yeah, and of course the lawyer said,
well, I take all of my cases very professionally.
Well, this gives new meaning to the DUI.
Well, yeah.
You know, defense under the influence.
Here's the interesting part. The judge ordered him to take a blood alcohol test. So his level was 0.075, and the Nevada's legal BAC limit is 0.08. So he was right there.
Yeah. Man, 0.08 is not very much.
No, it's not very much, yeah. But anyway, that's...
I find it hard to believe somebody would be slurring their words.
Right. This is more Lionel Hutsey here, because he gets into this. In the exchange recorded by the courtroom video, he arrived 90 minutes late, and the judge asked him if anything was wrong. He said he suffered a head injury and a rear-end crash while driving to court. And then Levitt said she was suspicious because of the details of his account. And then the lawyer also identified a woman who accompanied him to court as his ex-girlfriend.
This is in Las Vegas, of course.
Yeah, as his ex-girlfriend, Christine. But when questioned by the judge, the woman identified herself as Josephine.
Close enough.
And said she said they just met about 20 minutes earlier at a bar.
Well, she was my girlfriend, and now she's my ex.
And now she's my ex.
That's
exactly
what you pay him for.
15 minutes ago, she was my girlfriend.
So do you think they're going to disbar Mr. Carmen? Caramango.
They give him a little slap on the wrist. And,
yeah, that's right. So what else is new? I mean,
yeah.
Right. I don't know. I've only got two other ones. Does anybody else have anything? Okay. Fast food order wrong? Don't call 911. Apparently, this is just kind of funny. Some of the wacky 911 calls people get. Apparently, if somebody was their food order was wrong, so they call 911.
Close enough.
I saw a clip on that too.
The emergency is my burger has got ketchup on it.
No, that's exactly what they said. Yeah, that's exactly what they're saying.
I would have checked their blood alcohol level. I'd tell you that.
Tumbleweed crossing the highway apparently was enough for somebody else. One person said it's hard to tell the standouts because there's so many stupid things.
Weeds just blew right across in front of me.
Right, right.
It totally blocked the road.
This senior dispatch at the Santa Cruz, communication center remembers a call said from a man that there was two dead bodies in a car. So they dispatched the deputies out there.
Oh, I meant sleeping.
Well, yeah, they were dead tired. No, but then he started to talk about vampire with fangs reaching down from the top of the car. He sounded so straight up before he started talking about the vampires. But apparently they say, you know, they have to treat every call like an emergency, but they said they don't always document it. And they said outrageously stupid calls includes people who have lost their cars at the mall, misplaced their keys, stuck in traffic, and want to know what's wrong or why they can't get their baby to stop crying.
Yeah, well, you know, that's one of the reasons.
I've been beating him. And
put this duct tape on his mouth.
Yeah. No, that is one of the reasons they're trying to fire up the 311. You know that, right?
What's that?
Oh, really?
The 311 is the non-emergency calls.
Really?
Yeah, anything that's...
they'll be flooded.
Well, I don't know, because everybody right now, I can tell you.
It's going to... My friend just broke up with me. What do I do?
Right. No, and they had that woman call because she thought the cop was cute and called 911 to...
They threw her in jail, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine? Threw her in jail. Give me a break.
She probably called back a bunch of times.
What? I mean, give me a break. You don't throw anybody in jail for that.
I've defended people being thrown in jail calling back 3 or 4 times for no good reason.
No good.
Don't down 911. Let me tell you, don't down 911 unless people are dying. And I mean, they're still dying. Not like they've been shot and they're just bleeding to death. I mean, they're still getting shot.
Okay.
Because that's the only time you need the police is because...
You need to be able to hold the phone up and hear the bullets whizzing.
Yeah, exactly. Right, right, exactly. Right. Then it's okay.
Okay. All right. Whatever you say. I mean, it's like the...
If the burglars have left, just call the ambulance.
Mentioning the B word in the airplane line. You don't want to...
Yeah, you don't do that.
They call you right away. Ooh. Or, you know, ooh.
Or like when Jack came pick me up and I go, "Hi, Jack."
Yeah.
And
then no, you don't want to. Yeah, you don't want to do that. That's
don't pick up a friend named Jack at the airport.
That's right.
Just John. I am right here. Hello, John. all right, this is the last thing I got. Bar invites customers to take a swing at the staff.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? Yeah, this is in Beijing, but it's still kind of.
Give me a break.
I know, but it's still kind of interesting. I mean, because you never see it over here. But no.
It lost some of the effect.
No, no, another is there is something in here that is kind of cool.
Okay.
Stressed out Chinese can now unleash pent up anger at a bar that lets customers attack staff, smash glasses, and generally make a ruckus. A Chinese newspaper reported on Monday. The Rising Sun Anger Release Bar in Nanjing employs 20 muscled young men as models for the customer to punch and scream at. Customers can specify how they want their models to appear. They can even appear as women. And then they were free to give them a sound beating. Now, here's the deal. If you like your job, how about this? This job, if you're one of the models, the bar charges, I'm not even sure what they pay, but the bar charges $6.25 American, basically, so from 50 to 300 yuan for the pleasure. So the models aren't even getting that.
Is that per
punch? No, that's just...
That's full on, huh?
Full on, right?
That works.
And then basically they say that this is
I'll take the little slugger, please.
Take the two slap.
And the mace.
How much for that billy club?
That's right.
I really want to get into it.
Right.
Well, they said that since the bar opened in April, most of the patrons have been women, especially those working in karaoke bars and massage parlors.
It reminds me of the, just to finish this off, it reminds me of the skits they used to have on Monty Python. Remember the argument skit?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, that was, you know, you pay to have a...
An argument.
No, it was an argument,
with
right?
John Cleese.
No, you don't. No.
Well, that's not an argument. You just said no.
No, it is.
Yes, it is.
That's one of the classics.
That is a good one. The only one I have here is the...
Look, mate, I know a dead parrot when I see one, and I'm looking at one right now.
Of course. Let me tell you. We love... Here in Jimmy, we love Monty Python. Because for two reasons. Number one, of course, it's the luxury skit.
Right.
Which was Hollywood... If you ever get a chance, you need to rent
Live at the Hollywood Bowl.
I think it's about 20 minutes into it, mm-hmm. and it's 3 minutes and 38 seconds long. I have worn out the tape, of course.
Python looks like they're a bunch of Jabba the Hutts. They're all stretched
out. Well, not only that, it takes 8 minutes to play it now because the tape
is only a minute and a half sketch.
You know, 3 minutes and 38 seconds, and I think, or something like that. But that's the funniest one. The parrot sketch is a close second.
No more. It has ceased to be. It's expired and gone to meet its maker. This is a late parrot.
It's a flesh wound.
That's good. Okay, well, that's great. Well, thanks for the show. This is good. Don't know when we're going to get the next one, but...
That was our bonus show.
That was our bonus... Well, if you want to call it that.
Well, I'll try and get one together next week.
Sounds good.
During the week.
Don't forget, email Jimmy your questions, and he will answer them live, or sort of live, online here.
That's right. Jimmy@JimmyDone.com.
Hey, forget to listen to... new listeners, too.
Thanks for the new listeners. Come back. Don't forget to listen to Hanger Dogs.
Yep.
At hangardogs.com.
Really great. HANGARDOGS.
Right. And freedomain.com, which I think you have to now go through he's not on iTunes anymore. He's on the Little Lemon. What's that thing called? The squirt? What's the Little Lemon feeder?
LimeWire.
No, it's not LimeWire. It's LemonWire. It's called Juice.
Okay.
It's called Juice. And I think you have to get the other Juice. It's Freedomain.
I was liking LimeWire.
He's LimeWire.
That's where I steal all my music.
Yeah. He's not on iTunes anymore?
No. His first 272 shows on there, and they're worth listening to.
Right.
But they're on iTunes. But
you think they shut him off for some reason?
No. Oh, speaking of shut off, which reminds me, you know, the big Macintosh thing is like today.
Oh, yeah?
The big
what are you doing, start a new show?
No. I think I mentioned this on the last show. There was a fake Steve Jobs blog that was on.
I linked to it on our homepage.
Well, it turns out that yesterday it went RIP.
Really?
And nothing showed up. It was totally blank except for RIP. And all the comments were, where are you? What happened? I don't know. And nobody knows what happened. It just disappeared.
The wall is dead.
Yeah.
Jobs is dead.
The walrus.
Yeah. No, I can't wait though. Myself. When Jimmy gets some money, he's gonna buy a new Mac. Well, I tell you, they're really good stuff. I love Macintosh.
Hey, one of our sponsors.
I'm a PC freak, so
I know you are. That's because you do this show.
You do everything.
We're sponsored by Macintosh. Do not mention their name.
That's right. Well, that's always
like. Here's the check. Just don't talk about it.
Whatever you do,
scare people.
Stop mentioning my computer.
We do have.
Well, Jimmy, I had fun today. It was good.
That's good. No, it's a good show. Thank you, Jack.
Yeah, good to be here.
Counselor. You're a good man as always. Good legal advice. place. Always, yeah, it's worth what you pay for.
Every penny.
Everyone.
We're all just kicking
everyone.
Back.
Everyone. That's right.
We're all just kicking back in our pajamas, bringing this show live.
Yeah, I did notice the...
You notice my attire?
Yes.
It matches.
You have
noticed?
Approved.
Have you noticed that the top matches the bottom for once?
Yeah, that is unique.
That's right.
I mean, novel.
First time.
First time.
At least he's wearing something, I will say that.
I was impressed.
That's right. Actual clothes. Okay, this is good. All right, well, we'll talk to you next time. Hopefully about 6.5 days, okay?
There you go.
Come back and see us.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Guys.
Bye-bye.
Make your workout fly by listening to The Jimmy Doan Show. Spread the word by making CDs for your friends of The Jim Doan Show.